Street musician Michael True, who also plays indoors, founding member of the Street Performers Union, the Society for Artistic Expression. Actually, it's for Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression. SAFE. I always stumble on that name. It's an organization that meets every Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Baker Square. That's the pie shop and restaurant place on Ocean Street, 1107 Ocean, in case you want to be kept attuned to the ongoing pulse of what's cooking on the streets with performers organizing themselves. And, of course, the best way to do that is to go down there and do some performing yourself or listen to performers and support them, and particularly keep an eye on police who are, and their little helpers, the hosts, who are continuing to give out tickets and harass performers under the kind of decorum downtown laws. We're going to be talking at 10 o'clock about decorum at City Council, the City Council arrest on Tuesday, and the suppression of the protest against the sleeping ban, as well as any kind of meaningful rectification of the situation or restoration.
Okay, I don't want to replay what was played earlier, but that was Robert Norris doing a show that's a recorded show that he did in the past, and we replayed that at Robert's request as part of this show. He's out of town today, and this is you in a special guest today, and I'm having a little trouble with the VCR here. I'm not able to play what I want. Just wanted to play. It doesn't seem to be coming up on the board when I play the VCR. So, what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on a little bit of music for you. And when I come back, I'm going to talk a bit about what's going on with Schwarzenegger's proposed cuts. Massive and horrible cuts that he's proposing in healthcare, in programs that are needed by disabled people, and then I also have some other things planned. But here's Luke Gokin, and he does very good music, and I'll tell you more about it after I play it. Thank you.
I've met some good and decent folk who bore the symbol of the cross, and others who were bent and crushed beneath it like some ancient curse, and many more who waved it like a blinding spotlight in the eyes of those they wished to influence, exploit and mesmerize. Are you a Messiah, the one foretold to come? I am the Son of Man, he said, the Son of Man. Within the strangest schools of thought, there hides a tiny spark behind the webs of fantasy, a crack against the test of truth. But the spark can be so dim and vain, it takes great effort just to see. Much easier to drift aside and drown. Are you the Messiah, the one foretold to come? I am the Son of Man, he said, the Son of Man. We should cherish you. For the kinfolk that we are, salvation lies within ourselves, not on some quaint exotic star. And the eyes that spend eternity in searching vainly in the skies, in hopes of finding God, cast a glance inside. Are you the Messiah, the one foretold to come? I am the Son of Man, he said, the Son of Man. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. When the sun's bright or the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes. Goodbye.
Why she needs to be so free. She'll tell you it's the only way to be. She just can't be chained to a life where nothing's gained and nothing's lost. Such a cost. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change with every day? Still, I'm gonna miss you. Time to lose, I heard her sing. Catch your dreams before they slip away. Die all the time, lose your dreams and you will lose your mind. Life unkind. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change with every new day? Still, I'm gonna miss you.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and this is Steve Argue doing a special show of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, Robert Norse's show. Robert Norse is out of town, and people should feel free to call in. The number in the studio here is 427-FRSC, standing for Free Radio Santa Cruz, area code 831 for people listening to this online. I'm going to start this off by reading an article that I wrote on a protest that I and a number of other SCIU Local 415 members from Santa Cruz here attended in Sacramento. So I'll just read that. So feel free to call in if you have comments during this or after. The article is entitled, Protest Hits Schwarzenegger's Proposed Cuts in Services to the Elderly and Disabled. Colleen Fernandez was among the 1,000 people who came to the Capitol on January 6th to protest Arnold Schwarzenegger's proposed cuts in services to the elderly, poor, and disabled. She states, I am a mother of 6 kids. 2 have severe autism that require 24-hour care. To take away from IHSS, that's in-home support services, I don't think is the way to take care of the budget deficit, especially for people who are in need of these services for their very survival. There are a lot of moms out here. And people chanted, no more cuts, tax the rich, don't touch the poor, hasta la vista, baby, and si se puede. And the protesters had come to the Capitol to make their demands outside the outside of Governor Schwarzenegger's State of the State address. Those present to make their demands included the elderly, the disabled, their relatives, and union home care workers from the SEIU and AFSCME. The protest was organized by the California Disability Community Action Network, CDCAN, initials, in response to the Schwarzenegger administration's release on November 24th of a plan to slash $2 billion from the state budget, with a big chunk coming from health and other services to the disabled and poor. Speaking for the California Disability Community Action Network was protest organizer Marty Omato. Quote, the state of the state is not just dollars, it is also the health of the children and elderly, end of quote. He went on to explain that his sister, named Hope, died due to earlier state cuts and services. Speaking against further deaths that would be caused by the cuts proposed by Schwarzenegger, he initiated the chilling yet optimistic chant, Hope Died Last. Schwarzenegger's November 24th plan states, in order to achieve savings in these programs, legislation must be enacted in the current year to include suspending the Lanterman Act, which provides an entitlement to services for the developmentally disabled. That's quoted from it. Legal protections would be removed from young children and others with mental retardation and other conditions to make way for the proposed cuts. A cap would be put on many essential services. Quote, at the January 2004 estimated level of caseload, waiting lists would be established, and as attrition occurs, new enrollments would be permitted up to the capped level. End of quote. A broad list of programs would be hit, including rehabilitation, health insurance for low-income families, help provided to cover the cost of AIDS medications, and many services provided for children and adults with disabilities. Long-term care facilities that increased the salaries and benefits of caregivers would also have their state payments cut. Schwarzenegger's plan would also gut Medi-Cal. It would tack another 10% cut on the provider rate. This would be on top of last year's 5% cut. This 15% cut from the provider rate would effectively cut off Medi-Cal patients from many essential services that include physician care, medical transportation, and home health care. The California Medical Association, CMA, President Ronald Bangesser, MD, has pointed out that these Medi-Cal cuts are not only dangerous, but actually cost more money in the long run by forcing patients into the more expensive care of the emergency rooms. Quote, patients who cannot find care will increasingly turn to emergency rooms for basic care or ignore problems and see their health conditions turn into emergencies. This is an inefficient and expensive way to provide health care, end of quote. Additional federal matching funds would also be lost from these cuts. In addition, Schwarzenegger's plan would also prohibit payment to relatives for the in-home support services that they give. That's IHSS, in-home support services. All IHSS recipients are low-income and are not allowed to have assets over $2,000. In response to this proposed elimination of the Family IHSS program, the California Autism Coalition have stated their opposition, pointing out, quote, many parents, grandparents, and relatives of people with disabilities have given up their livelihood to care for a child with a disability. It is difficult to hire a non-relative to care for a person with a disability on IHSS wages, end of quote. Then they go on to state, If family caregivers no longer receive IHSS, they will be forced to place their child or family member with a disability in a group home or an institution. This will result in families breaking apart and will be a much more costly alternative to retaining IHSS. End of quote. This family care is one of what are called the residual programs. These are IHSS programs not covered by federal money. All of the residual programs would be chopped under Schwarzenegger's plan, disrupting or eliminating the care of 75,000 people in California. Speaking against the cuts to IHSS, Sal Roselli, president of SEIU 250, a union representing 90,000 caregivers in Northern California, pledged resistance to Schwarzenegger's proposed cuts, saying, quote, "We are not going to let him cut the care of 75,000 seniors, poor, and disabled people in the state," end of quote. Yet every indication from Schwarzenegger's State of the State speech is that he plans to charge ahead with a budget that he hopes will be balanced on the backs of the disabled, elderly, sick, and poorest of the poor without raising any new taxes for the rich. His speech was one meant to prepare working people for more hardships and attacks through austerity, the gutting of workers' compensation, and the privatization of busing and maintenance services at schools. Stating, quote, "We do not have a budget crisis, we have a spending crisis," end of quote. Schwarzenegger went on to state, "We have no choice but to cut spending. If not, we will be bankrupt," end of quote. Nothing was said about the details of the cuts he has already proposed, but he will be forced to talk more about that when he unveils his budget plan on Friday, January 9th, and I'll talk more about that after this article, what he did unveil. While many would pin our hopes on stopping Schwarzenegger's plans through the Democrat majority that sits in the California Assembly, we should all be reminded of their 5% cut to Medi-Cal last year. That cut was not only passed by the Democrat majority, it was also signed into law by Governor Davis as a budget compromise after he had originally proposed a 15% cut to Medi-Cal. This is a clear indication that it will take a strong response from labor, the disabled, elderly, poor, and all other concerned people to defeat these cuts by educating the public, exposing the politicians, marching, and taking direct action. Due to earlier action in response to the proposed cuts, Schwarzenegger has backed off of his plan to cut recreational therapy to disabled children. Protest organizer Marty Omato responded to this change saying, quote, "The fact that he rescinded that was very, very critical and very important, but there are so many cuts that are being contemplated or are on the table now that that's what really concerns us." In addition to Schwarzenegger backing down from part of his plan, a lawsuit by the California Medical Association has forced a partial temporary injunction against Davis's 5% cut to Medi-Cal, calling into question the ability of Schwarzenegger to implement his proposed additional 10% cut to Medi-Cal. The temporary court order by Judge David Levi states, quote, "Medi-Cal recipients who must wait until after trial to receive appropriate services may well sustain irreparable injury, whether in pain suffered or irremediable worsening of a condition," end of quote. Yet Levi's temporary injunction applies only to fee-for-service patients and does not apply to those who have managed care plans. This is an emergency temporary order pending a decision on CMA charges that Davis's 5% cut denies patients equal access to care. In making this injunction, Levi cited federal appellate precedent saying that federal statute guarantees beneficiaries, quote, "a rate-setting decision by the state that is not arbitrary and that takes into account provider costs, quality service, and equal access to medical services," end of quote. The order has helped to preserve health care for 6 million Medi-Cal patients.
Democrat Assemblyman Daryl Steinberg expressed his concern that the ruling will place additional strains on legislators who are already facing tough budget decisions. But what about the strains on Medi-Cal patients? Well, some assemblymen have spoken out strongly against Schwarzenegger's State of the State address. Past cuts and voting records make clear that continued pressure will be necessary to save the lives and quality of life of those threatened with the Terminator's budget acts. And I'd add, actually, the budget proposal that Schwarzenegger has now put out is even worse in terms of IHSS. He wants to move IHSS workers down to minimum wage and wipe out the Port Authority, which would in turn wipe out collective bargaining. This is a direct attack on even having a union for IHSS workers. So these proposals are really a declaration of war against working class people and against the organized labor movement and against people who are going to die if these things pass. And you know, it's a horrible thing being proposed by Schwarzenegger, and it's going to take a big fight back. I want to encourage people to call in with thoughts about this. The SEIU is putting forward some proposals, and there's some of us here locally in the SEIU are looking at ways we can work locally to expose these cuts and fight back against these cuts as well. And people who want to be involved in that can give me a call and leave some information. My number is 454-0272, and you can call me directly there. If you're interested in getting involved in this, 454-0272. We're going to take a little musical break here, and we'll talk more about this when we come back. And there's some other things I have on my list of things to talk about here. And I want to encourage, again, people who are listening to call in. The number is 427-FRSC. For the studio here. Okay. Is it playing? It's not playing. Oh, that's why. Sorry. Here we go. Here's some more Dick Gokin.
Back in 1942, I was part of a good platoon. Over on maneuvers in Louisiana, one night by the light of the moon. The captain said, we gotta ford the river, that's where it all began. Oh, we're knee-deep in the big muddy, and the damn fool kept yelling to push on. Sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the way back to base? Sergeant, I once crossed this river not a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but we'll keep on slogging. We'll soon be on dry ground. But we're waist deep in the big muddy and the damn fool kept yelling to push on. Captain, sir, with all this gear, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination, follow me, I'll lead on. But we're neck deep in the big muddy and the damn fool kept yelling to push on. All of a sudden, the
moon clouded over, all we heard was a gurgling cry. And a second later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, turn round, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with a captain dead and gone. Stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know the water was deeper than the place where he'd once been. But another stream had joined the muddy a half mile from where we'd gone. We were lucky to get out of the big muddy when that damn fool kept yelling to push on. Want to draw conclusions, leave that to yourself. Maybe you're still walking, maybe you're still talking, maybe you've still got your health. But every time I hear the news, that old feeling comes back on. We're neck deep in the big muddy and the damn fools keep yelling to push on. Knee deep in the big muddy and the fools keep yelling, push on. Waist deep in the big muddy and the damn fools keep yelling, push on. Waist deep, neck deep, we'll be drowning before too long. We're neck deep in the big muddy and the damn fools keep yelling, so push on.
Scratch my head, get back to the business of life. I believe the love is still the famous power. It's a beacon shining in the midnight hour. It burns insane and it's burning still. The island's killing and they never move. Wanna run to the top of the nearest hill and dance till the sun comes up. Passing no cross for a mile, no means to get down high.
Listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and on the line we have, introduce yourself. Can you hear? Is this working? Oops. Now we've got someone on the line calling in here. Hello? Are you still there?
Steve, am I supposed to be hearing this?
Yeah, I didn't potted up right.
You faded way off. You were very present to begin, but...
What's that?
But I can't hear you.
You can't hear me now?
No, well...
Can you hear me now?
Very, very.
What's that?
That's better.
You can hear me now. Okay.
Yeah, now.
Okay. I've been away from this equipment for a while. I used to have a show, which I haven't been doing, or I stopped doing, so... Please excuse me for being a bit rusty with the equipment here.
Quite all right, Steve. Listen, I just listening to your recent comments. What I want to do is try to suggest a widening of the perspective. IHSS and the cuts in IHSS are a symptom. They're an important symptom. I'm likely to feel them. For instance, but they are a symptom, and that behind everything that we do, it seems to me, as convinced revolutionaries rather than just reformists, we should have a general idea that what doesn't work is capitalism. Just it's like the war in Iraq. That's a symptom. It's a terrible symptom, it's a war, and so on. But the war, the real war that we should constantly have in the back of our minds and look to express in our actions is the war of the bank against the earth. That's the war that's going to kill us all off, that is killing us all off. And so when the Schwarzenegger, in the case of Schwarzenegger, it seems to me that he's probably doing a whole bunch of things besides the IHSS thing, and that the thing to do is to go after Schwarzenegger, who's also a symptom, by the way. But the thing to do is to scare him, and the action that I'm just suggesting, proposing, throwing in there is a recall of Schwarzenegger. Why not? If he's attacking the majority of the people in this state with a number of actions, then let's just go after him again.
Yeah.
Why rule that out?
Yeah, I think a recall would be a great thing. It would it would put the whole thing on the spot. We also need to keep the pressure on the assemblymen and the people in the Senate to make sure that they don't pass this.
Absolutely, but one of the things that would really strike fear into them
is going after the main one calling for it. Yeah,
if it gave signs of being supported widely, would be that. I mean, that would put as much pressure on assembly people as. Anyway, it's just an idea that I keep seeing that everywhere in the news, the so-called presidential charade is a good example, where everybody takes the war to be the rape of Iraq. Well, the to generalize it immensely, but that's the war of the bank against the earth. That's the one that has to be won.
Yeah.
Living people against the money power.
Yeah. So, thanks for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Okay. Turns out that Schwarzenegger is going to be in the area, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I got another call coming in. Hello? You're on the air? Whoops.
Hello, you're on the air?
Hey. I just wanted to reply to the last call. Excuse me. And just in essentially agreeing with what he said, but also just, you know, I think that the war in Iraq, the war against the people in India versus Monsanto, you know, the Korean farmers killing themselves in Cancun, protesting the policies of the WTO, they're all linked. They're really, and the war right here in Santa Cruz, you know, where schools are being closed down in the name of budget cuts and saving money, schools that were, like, fought for, people are trying to, you know, people raise money to keep these schools open. I mean, it's the same attack.
Yeah.
There's no difference. I mean,
same system.
We need to be, it's unfortunate because, like, as a friend of mine puts it, you know, we're busy running around putting out little fires all over the place while there's a huge inferno. You know what I mean? We could put out little fires, but the fire goes on. And, like, so, I mean, in a way, you know, it's the same. That's all. I just wanted to say that. That's all I want to say. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that, and you know, it's part of, I think, in terms of taking on the system, of course, we do have to go after some of the little fires, but seeing that as part of a bigger picture. I mean, these cuts coming from Schwarzenegger are part of this capitalist system that, you know, we've got Bush going to war for the profits of the oil monopolies in Iraq, and then you have problems with the capitalist system and a financial crisis, and they're going to try to take it out on the poor people, the poorest of the poor, disabled people. I've got another call coming in. Hi, you're on there.
Hi. Let's see. I wanted to say something from the point of view of somebody who's directly affected by all of these cuts and sees the need for a more radical change going on. And the problem is a lot of people, especially the people who are directly affected immediately, don't necessarily have the bigger picture or even have the energy for it right at the moment. So it's like there's things that we need to do to keep them alive so that they can understand that there's a bigger picture and we can all combine together to deal with the thing in a systematic way.
Yeah.
Part of the problem I've seen, because I want to talk about the path, how do we get from here to there, the transition. And part of the thing is that I've noticed just in the last couple of weeks, each group, like the schools and also developmentally disabled, the mentally disabled, are immediately going for some kind of initiative that will get some money from some rich people and direct it into their particular program. So if everybody immediately reacts, you know, like I'm just saving my crumb, then we're not in a we're in a situation where people are going to vote no on everything, and we're not going to be able to not only save the whole pie, but change the pie, so to speak. And so I think we need to be aware of, you know, that program is not really going to work. Each one of us just grabbing our own thing, which is human instinct, just to grab your own. But then you've got to look beyond that as quickly as possible. The other thing is there's already, you know, demonstrations in process because a lot of people are unclear as to exactly what this means in human terms. You know, we have to kind of decipher all the gobbledygook to show people what it means for real human beings that live next door to them and get that information to the press. And
yeah,
some of the press is responsive and some isn't, and we've got to do whatever we can do to get attention. And then, of course, the unions are very involved with this dog, Arnie, situation. which can be a lot of fun. And they recently, Arnie was in Rossmore over in Contra Costa County, and they had a big demonstration, and they got, you know, some stuff in the paper about, you know, what Arnie's really doing is getting back disabled and elderly and the poor.
And he's going to be in San Jose on Thursday.
Right, and I don't think we know what time exactly on Thursday, but anybody who can go, especially if you have a vehicle to transport other people, call Tony at SEIU at 459-0415, and he's coordinating that trip. And then the final thing is, well, not the final, but the last of the particular thing I'm talking about is that obviously we need to tax the rich in order to get money to, so we're not, you know, killing everybody, saying, well, the rich will suffer, you know, they will lose a tire on their Hummers, and meanwhile the rest of us lose our home and our doctors and our bodies. I mean, that kind of thing is insane. But in the immediate future, I think we need to do that while discussing, you know, the bigger picture with people.
Yeah. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. I got an email here from... I got an email here from Tony Madrigal, and... yeah, I guess it doesn't have the time on it, but there's going to be, bus is going. So my big question is to you all is, do you want to go? I spoke with Cliff about renting a van, and he said yes. So there's going to be transportation over to San Jose to do this. So the number again to call to get on board for that protest on Thursday, and again, we don't know the exact time, is 459-0415 and extension 208. Okay, got another call here. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning again, Steve.
Good morning.
I've got a couple of comments. I wanted to say something about Vinny's call. I completely agree with what he has to say. And I completely like the fire metaphor, and I wanted to say that you can blow out a candle, but you can't blow out a fire. And the fire is going to be the people's movement, and I want to say power to the people on that. And I just, those were my couple of comments, and I'll keep on listening. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM and 101.1 FM, I believe, in Santa Cruz or on the internet. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 427-FRSC if you have questions or comments. I'm going to take a little musical break here, just a song, and be right back. Here's some more Dick Gulkin.
Thank you.
pay me, yes, me. He won the country, but he's been on the sky, your machine, son.
Joke. the deeds with deed. Then tune the paves and drop the tenor drum. Leave your kit this side o'er the wall. Then tune the pipes and drop the tenor drum. Pair bloody squaddies are me.
Listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and this is Steve Argue sitting in for Robert Norse. This is regularly Robert Norse's program time, and he's out of town, so I'm filling in, talking about Schwarzenegger's proposed cuts in social services and his refusal to raise taxes on the wealthy to pay for these needed social services. And the fight back on that. I'm going to get back to that in just a minute, and people who have comments can call in 427-FRSC. I want to make a couple announcements. Kevin Cooper, there's an event for him coming up on February 3rd up at UCSC at 6 p.m. Kevin Cooper has been on death row for, I believe, 18 years. 18 years. And there's a lot of questions about his case, a lot of big questions, and it really looks like he didn't do it. There's a little blurb on the event here that says a little bit about it. On February 10th, the state of California and Governor Schwarzenegger plan to execute Kevin Cooper, a 45-year-old African-American man who has been on death row for 18 years and whose case raises numerous questions about California's capital punishment system. Kevin's case is full of holes and represents all of the flaws of the death penalty and the criminal injustice system. We encourage you to flood the office of the governor with letters and phone calls and to write letters to the local newspapers to stop the execution. For years, Kevin Cooper's supporters have been building support for his case. Now is the time to mobilize for action. Join us for an evening of dialogue to save Kevin Cooper and to end the politics of state murder. And for more information, you can visit Save Kevin Cooper, one word, that's all one word, savekevincooper.org. The event's going to be 6 p.m. Tuesday night on February 3rd. And speakers include George Lipsitz, Professor American Studies, Paul Ortiz, Professor of Community Studies, Jason Padoan, Student Campaign to End the Death Penalty, and Kevin Cooper by audio message from San Quentin Death Row. And Angela Davis is in a different type. And Angela Davis is also going to be speaking. So, again, that's this coming Tuesday night at 6 p.m. And there's been events going on all over the state trying to save his life and people speaking out on this right now. I've got an outline here I wanted to talk about another thing going on of the ILWU taking a stand against the war in Iraq before I get back to Schwarzenegger's proposed cuts. I've got an email here from Jack Heyman from the ILWU, that's the International Longshoremen's Union, Local 10, where he writes, this was right when it happened, but this is still coming up on March 20th. The San Francisco Longshore Union has voted at our membership meeting to stop work on March 20th to protest the war in Iraq. We will demand an end to the war, an end to the occupation, and the immediate withdrawal of all U.S. troops now. We are trying to organize all ports on the U.S. West Coast to take the same action as Local 10. If they decide to follow our lead, then it will send a powerful working-class message to the warmongers in Washington that we don't support imperial wars like the one in Iraq. We hope this action will coincide with yours, and this is written to longshoremen in Japan, with yours in Japan, and help to put an end to the needless slaughter in Iraq. For international solidarity, Jack Heyman. And that strike on March 20th coincides with mass demonstrations that are also organized for that day. In San Francisco, there's going to be a march that will begin at Dolores Park at 18th and Dolores Streets at 11 a.m. and will march to the San Francisco Civic Center. And for more information, you can call 415-821-6545. Help get the word out, flyers. There's a lot that can be done, even though this is a little ways down the road. It's not that long, though, March 20th, in terms of people getting on board and helping with it. And there's going to be marches in New York City, Los Angeles, and other places. And for more information, you can check out site of the people organizing this, International Answer. And their site is www.internationalanswer.org, and that's all one word, International Answer. www.thefreedomexpression.org. Okay, so I've got an outline here on the California long-term budget care long-term care budget issues for 2004 by Charlene Harrington, PhD, and Robert Newcomer, PhD. And this paper reviews some of the California governor's budget cut proposals for 2003 and 4 and 2004 and 05 in long-term care services. The IHSS program, IHSS cuts would be about $600 million in 2003 and 2004 and 2004-2005, or about 29% of the budget. This is a step backward in addressing the goals of the Americans for Disability Act and the Supreme Court ruling on the Olmstead decision, which requires individuals who can live at home to be given that option as opposed to institutional care. The IHSS program provided 27 million hours of personal care services to about 321,000 individuals in 2003. These are aged and disabled individuals who are very frail and extremely poor. Many are living alone and are vulnerable. Every year, 28% of IHSS individuals die. 14% enter a nursing home and 17% enter residential care, showing how sick these individuals are. The IHSS program spent $2.8 billion on the program in 2003 and 2004, but only $8,820 per person, which is about 21% of what is spent to keep a person in a nursing home, not including the SSI-SSP funds for individuals living outside of an institution. The residual program, we are most concerned about the proposal to eliminate the IHSS residual program, which is projected at $455 million, which are those services provided by a spouse or parent and are used by individuals needing protective supervision and those with severe disability who receive payment prior to service delivery. The elimination of this program would terminate services to 75,000 low-income, aged, blind, and disabled Californians. Some of these individuals might be able to shift to regular IHSS program for services, but because of a prevailing and severe shortage of workers and very likely a further reduction in workers resulting from the proposed 30% reduction in hourly wages discussed below, many individuals would not be able to find a provider. Those who cannot shift to regular IHSS or who cannot find workers will be at a greater risk of death institutionalization in a nursing home, which will cost the Medi-Cal program $43,000 per person each year. If 10,000 more of these individuals entered a nursing home, there would be no savings to the cut, not to mention the negative change in the quality of life for these individuals. Nursing home and bed supply per population is low. California ranks 45th in the nation in bed supply, in part because of the success of the IHSS program. California nursing home occupancy rates are 78% and have been declining steadily over the years. We think this is partially related to the success of the IHSS program for personal care services. However, California is still out of compliance with the federal Olmstead Supreme Court ruling, which mandates states to offer home and community-based alternatives to institutional care for Medicaid recipients. Even with IHSS, California lacks adequate HCBS, that's HCBS. Home and community-based alternatives. Even with IHSS, California lacks adequate HCBS to keep people at home, and as a result, many are forced into institutions. California is 44th in the nation in terms of total HCBS waiver participants, 50,537, which there are over 110,000 individuals in nursing homes. Wages and benefits. The second major proposal for cost savings is to eliminate benefits for IHSS workers and reduce wages down to the minimum wage, $98 million. Wages would be dropped from $10.10, depending on the area, but $10.10 to $6.75 an hour, and the benefit requirement and employer of record requirements would be repealed. This would result in a loss of workers available, a higher rate of worker turnover, a loss of services, and a very likely a reduction in the quality of care. Workers in the IHSS program already live in poverty, and many are eligible for food stamps, and few have access now to health insurance. These policy changes will contribute to the growing number of poor and uninsured people in California. Public authorities. The elimination of state funding for the public authorities undercuts current efforts to facilitate the development of provider registries, improve training of providers, and it again shifts the burden for financial reporting and Social Security withholding to consumers. The long experience of these problems and burdens had been the basis for the initiation of the public authority program, which has been an innovative model for the country. There is no real rationale for dropping the authorities and eliminating them. There is no real rationale for dropping the authorities and eliminating them may reduce the amount and quality of services. The current shortage of hours is already associated with a large amount of unmet need in hours, 15% less than authorized. The reduction in services and workers due to budget cuts could result in an increase in unmet need for personal care services throughout the state. The consequences of unmet need are pain and discomfort, mobility restriction, going hungry, running out of food, getting burned, unintentional weight loss, dehydration, falls, staying in bed most of the time, soiled self, skin problems, and even death. Many of these consequences will lead to avoidable ambulance use, emergency room use, hospitalizations, and nursing home placement, which will increase the cost of Medicare and Medi-Cal program to the Medicare and Medi-Cal program. People who live alone are significantly more at risk for these consequences than those who live with others. Nursing homes. The budget proposal for freezing nursing home reimbursement rates for the year would cut $46 million for wage pass-throughs for unionized facilities and will likely result in nursing homes cutting staffing hours, wages, and benefits. Nursing homes already have 70% staff turnover rate. Almost 3 out of 4 employees leave each year, which contributes to poor quality. 37%, over one-third of facilities do not meet minimum staffing hours, and 93% provide staffing below the standards recommended by CMS and IOM. Although California spends over $6.5 million on nursing homes, the daily Medicaid reimbursement rates have not kept pace with the increase in cost. The Medi-Cal rates for freestanding facilities increased from 112.93 per day in 2001 to 113.73 in 2002 to 118.05 in 2003-04. The average nursing home cost was $53,000 per year in 2001. Medi-Cal currently only pays 80% of the average cost for nursing home care. Controls on Medi-Cal daily rates will only make the financial losses on Medi-Cal residents worse. These changes will place a number of facilities in jeopardy. Nursing homes are currently in financial jeopardy. 44% had financial losses last year. No improvement in the financial status of nursing homes since the previous year. There are 160 homes in California in bankruptcy, and several big chains are selling many or most of their California facilities, Beverly and Sun. The homes most vulnerable to closure are in the rural areas. Our small, under 50 beds, have a high percentage of Medi-Cal residents and have low occupancy rates. Other non-institutional providers would also be negatively affected by the budget cuts and reimbursement rates. Adult daycare health programs would be cut, $12.7 million in state funds. Such a small program that provides services to frail, disabled, and elderly persons as a substitute for nursing home services is targeted for cuts. These adult day health care organizations are already in serious financial jeopardy, and many could close as a result of this cut. In summary, these proposals for cuts in long-term care services can have disastrous consequences for the poor, aged, blind, and disabled in the state. It can result in many negative consequences for individuals, including pain, negative health outcomes, hospitalization, nursing home placement, and death. Ultimately, these proposed budget reductions could actually be less than the potential increases in nursing home and hospital costs for the state Medi-Cal program. The serious negative impact on the poor, aged, blind, and disabled, the compliance issues with the Olmstead Supreme Court ruling, and the potential increases in Medi-Cal nursing home and hospital costs all show a need to reevaluate the proposed cuts to these important long-term care programs. That's a report written by two PhDs, Charlene Harrington and Robert Newcomer. Okay, got a call coming in. All right, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to comment on the situation here in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
I went to an emergency meeting of all the medical tops in the whole county. This was in December, and they were talking about the impact. It's almost like pre-crisis. And they were saying things like, emergency rooms are backing up. We're not going to be able to take care of people if the Medi-Cal cuts, like even of Davis in the past, of 5%, every time doctors can't meet their needs, however they define them, they stop taking Medi-Cal clients. And even if it means moving their practice, or even if it means moving out of state, that has happened. There's certain areas, I know Santa Rosa, where it was on the front page of the paper for years about just all the doctors are packing up and leaving, and people, lower-class people particularly, but even middle-class and working-class people were not having, their doctors were just leaving. And then all they could do is go to somebody else that, you know, you sign up and you can be seen in 6 months. The situation here, the last understanding I have is that if you're on Medicare and you can't function in your own home, then there are only 14 beds in the county that you could possibly take if they weren't already filled. We are possibly, with the Schwarzenegger's plan, 300 families are in jeopardy, the ones that have somebody in your family that's taking care of you. If you can't do that, you have to leave the house. Those people need to go somewhere. It used to be the fear of all of us in the disability community that, oh, my God, the worst thing that can happen is that we'll have to go to nursing homes, which happened, you know, over the years, particularly with Reagan kicking everybody out of the hospitals and stuff. You have to go to the nursing homes. Now there's no nursing homes. There's, like, literally nowhere to go if you can't take care of yourself, and many of us can't because we've been disabled through community accidents, people drinking and running over us, battery. One of the highest things for women is being battered by their mates. So all these things are going on in society, and people are trying their best to survive and contribute to the community, and there's just going to be nowhere for them to go. So that's the awful picture of what's going on here in this county. And instead of being depressed, which it is very shocking and depressing, you know, there's groups of people that are beginning to say, look, we've got to do something, and we can't do what
we all thought worked 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 50 years ago, we've got to combine and we've got to, you know, form a mass movement and think about all these issues about what is the real solution in this. It's not just, you know, creating more fires and, you know, putting out the fire and running on, but, I mean, the whole, you know, many people understand the healthcare system is totally corrupt and just making money for pharmaceuticals from the top on down, and none of these little patches, Band-Aids, are working in California now. We're fighting for single payer, but that won't really work here unless we do it countrywide, and to do it countrywide, you have to talk about who is running the country, and we know what Bush's plans are, and we know what Dean's plans are, and, you know, some people in the Democratic Party are talking about single payer, but if they're having wars and doing everything else that the Democrats do, then, you know, what's that really going to mean? And I personally think we have to organize outside the Democratic Party, the best of the Greens, the best of the Labor Party, the best of Peace and Freedom, the best of, you know, everybody that's out there needs to overcome past hostilities, work together, and figure out, you know, how do we build a mass movement, you know, so people that don't need to be dying aren't dying, and that we set up a system so our kids aren't paying for all the consequences, which gets to the whole question of, you know, killing the planet. So anyway, there is hope. It is bad, but there is hope, and people should join up, and groups that haven't worked together should do their best to work together, because it can make a huge difference.
Thanks, Barry. Okay. The phone number here in the studio is 427-FRSC, and people should feel free to call in. Something related to what Barry was talking about is, you know, with who's running for president. I have a statement here by Leonard Peltier. It's his statement put out on the California Secretary of State's website, and actually recently mailed out in the voter pamphlets. His statement, Leonard Peltier is running for president, and he's going to be on the ballot here in California. And this is his statement. I am a Native American who has suffered nearly 28 years in prison. Even though government attorneys and courts acknowledge that the government withheld evidence, fabricated evidence, and coerced witnesses to fraudulently convict me. But the courts say they have no power to correct the wrongs of our government. If the courts do not, who does? I will ensure that all people receive justice. Environmental protection is paramount for our survival. The earth is our sacred mother who nourishes us. Our government is destroying the earth by allowing its usurpation for greedy purposes. I will protect the environment. All minorities must be allowed to maintain their languages and traditions with dignity. I personally suffered the indignity of being deprived of speaking my native tongue and following Lakota traditions. This country has engaged in genocidal policies to exterminate virtually every minority, especially those who express dissent and seek equal justice. Now is the time to end the continuing injustices of this government and ensure liberty and equal health care to all. Luther Standing Bear, a Sioux chief, stated, "Out of the Indian approach to life became a great freedom, an intense and absorbing love for nature, a respect for life, enriching in a supreme power the principles of truth, honesty, generosity, equity, the brotherhood as a guard to mundane relations." End of quote. End of his quoting of him. That statement exemplifies the basic truths of life. I will represent all people, not the entrepreneurs who care only how much money can be stuffed into their pockets. And that's Leonard Peltier's statement running for president in opposition to the Democrats and Republicans. Unfortunately, actually, a lot of people are still looking towards the Democrats, but we do need to form, as Barry was stating, I think, a movement outside of the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party is for war. They have not brought us single payer health care. They have not done anything that the people need. They're on the other side, actually, and we need we do need single payer health care. And I think in relation to what's going on with Schwarzenegger's cuts, it's a very related thing for us to be raising and saying, hey, why are you going to cut these basic services to the sick, the disabled, the elderly, and so forth? But you're gonna let the insurance industry keep on making all its money when we could have a much more efficient system if we had single payer health care. If we chopped off that middleman, if we chopped out the insurance companies, we could do this at a much cheaper rate. We could cover everybody. But it's these kinds of programs that the Democrats and Republicans aren't really interested in. Some Democrats will say they're for that, but it's something that would cut it.